We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, John Ritchie's theme song right here. Show to camera, John Ritchie. 94 WIB. You know what I did? So John's coming from down the hallway. He's not able to talk yet because he's, you know, he's just sitting down in his chair now. So I get a little shot in him.
I was hanging out with the Tap S23 guys. Like my favorite song, my song, my theme song.
This is your theme song.
I'm just a girl.
My theme song's I'm the Man, which is a great song, by the way.
What?
I'm the Man. Give me a little I'm the Man coming back. How do you say his name? How do you say that guy's name?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know, I'm the Man. I'm the Man. I'm the Man. You know, that song.
You mean I'm a man?
No,
I'm, a man. I'm a man.
No.
I'm a man.
Not that song.
Well, I don't know what song you're talking about.
Aloe Blanc or
Aloe Black is his name. Aloe Blanc.
Whatever his name is. I want that song later. Matter of fact, I want that tomorrow on my birthday.
Aloe Blanc. I'll make sure I want some Aloe Blanc.
Are you one of those pushy birthday guys?
No, I'm just joking around. I'm really joking.
Because you weren't last year. Now all of a sudden it's your 40th, and it's like, look at me. Aloe Blanc's going to play my birthday.
I want that. I want Hail to the Chief tomorrow.
Oh, no.
I need
that's never gonna
Hail
happen.
To the Chief tomorrow. All right. Let's talk to someone that Howard Eskin probably through all the years has probably never called Chief to, in part because Howard kind of says it as a put-down. And I believe no person in the last many, many, many years has ever said to Ray Dittinger, yo, Chief. Yo, Chief. He's the Hall of Famer.
Wait, it's a put-down?
I think Howard says it a little bit as a put-down. It's kind of like a stop you in your tracks kind of thing.
I feel... Now I'm second-guessing everything.
Yeah. It's like he says genius. He calls it genius.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit nice, but it's more not nice. It's derisive. No one's ever been derisive to Ray Dittinger because there's no reason to be. The Hall of Famer, the day before the draft for an hour in studio, Mr. Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy.
Hello, guys.
How are you, sir?
Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. And by the way, Howard does refer to me as genius, and I think it's...
Well, it's true, though.
I don't think it is. I regard it as a little bit of an edge to it, but that's fine. Yeah. Howard and I...
I don't know.
I've known Howard for forever. I remember when... Howard was the original Vegas Vic. You know, that column that runs in the Daily News now, Vegas Vic, when it originated with Howard Eskin.
Wow. Well, you know what I also saw on Twitter over the weekend? We got to ask Howard tomorrow. It's, I don't know if it's boxing or wrestling from 1988, but he's like the ring announcer at the Spectrum. I don't know. He was the boxer or wrestling. Yeah. Picture on Twitter over the
weekend. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Ray, I think if he says genius to you, there is like validity to it. I mean, I know he says it on the radio to people who call, but I don't know. I think there is some sincerity. Like, it's almost complimentary if he says it. Now, I'm just trying to say it because I want to believe that he, likes me and thinks that I'm not a
No, he says it to you as a fool. No, he says it to you as a nice thing. He'll say that as a nice way to players and all that. He'll say it to Rice to Little Cars.
I think he says it nicely to Ray.
Oh, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would.
He doesn't say it to you, though, Joe.
He does. He does lump. He does lump me in with Ron Jaworski. When we were all working at NFL Films together, he used to refer to us as the quote unquote geniuses at NFL Films. Yeah. So if I'm in Jaws' company, that's fine.
I believe you are actually a genius because last year with Pick 15, you said Derek Barnett should be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, I think, an above-average rookie year and is headed to a terrific career, soon to be a starter for the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Ray, let's just start with this as we look to pick 32. And we'll get into all the they could trade it and move down and all that. But let's just say for a second they stay at pick 32.
Mm-hmm.
Hit us up with, it's hard to say maybe just one because we know this could go in 15 directions at pick 32. But give us the three or four players, in your opinion, that if they stay at 32, the three or four guys they are most likely to leave day one of the draft with at pick 32. Who are they?
Well, again, I think you have to look at who's likely to be there. Who are you kind of choosing from? And I've gone back and forth on this a lot. I mean, I know a couple of weeks ago, I guess, when I was on with you guys, I was talking about Gesicki, the tight end from Penn State.
Yep.
Because who I do think will be there at 32 and is certainly worth thinking about. But the more I've thought about it, and again, looking at the most likely guys to still be there to choose from, I'm kind of finding myself going more towards the running backs. And so, you know, Glenn on Saturday pinned me down and said, okay, you got to pick one person. And I went with Sony Michel. You could make a strong case for Darius Geis. You could. But given the two, if those two are there to choose from, I would take Michel. I mean, I just saw a lot more of Georgia this year. But there's a lot about this guy I like an awful lot. And I used the comparison, and we had Mike Mayock on with us over the weekend. And he made the same analogy that I made with him, independent. We didn't consult with each other, but he reminds me of Alvin Kamara. And I said that when I was watching him last year. I said, geez, this kid reminds me of Kamara. And now he's in the draft, and I said that to Glenn. I said, you know, the more I watch this guy, the more I go back and watch this guy, he has a lot of Kamara-like qualities. And we've had Mike Mayock on, and Mike Mayock said, I've been watching a tape on this kid, and the person he reminds me of is Alvin Kamara. Came to the same conclusion.
If you and Mike Mayock both feel that way, that's saying something. Because Alvin Kamara was the steal of the draft last year.
Yeah.
Third rounder. He is so talented, well-rounded, protection, catching the ball, route running, great feel for the run game, incredible burst with the size to boot. I worry about Sony Michel that he is more pedestrian than Geis is when Geis was healthy in 2015 and 2016. You know, like, I worry that Geis won't be as healthy as he once was, and I worry that Sony Michel is not the player that Darius Geis was in 2016. You know, like, so I've seen Geis be better than him.
Yes.
And if Geis can return to that form, he's the guy. I mean, he's going to come in here and be beast mode if we can get that Geis. But you don't know if you're going to get that Geis.
Yeah, you don't know. I think for folks that haven't seen either of these guys that much, the best way to describe them is Geis is a bigger version. You know, Geis is probably at least 10, maybe 15 pounds heavier, runs with more power, more physical type of runner. Michel is more of a slip and slide elusive kind of guy. Geis would sooner run over somebody, whereas Michel will find a way to get work around him. I think Geis is a better receiver. I think that Michel is a better receiver.
And a better pass protector.
And a better pass protector. And I think in terms of as an all-around player, as an all-around skill set, I think Michel is better. But if you're looking for a bigger, more powerful, more physical type of runner, then Geis would be your guy, I think.
I think Sony Michel has a lower ceiling, but a higher floor. And yeah. Geis, if he can be the healthy Darius Geis. And also, think about this. I mean, Darius Geis was a guy who came in to spell a man-child at LSU.
Yeah, he did.
You know, a guy who's 6'3", 235 pounds, running a 4.4, running people over. That was his style. And it's almost like that's just what he saw. It's what was expected. The punishing running back is what they – like, I wonder if a change of scenery, a change of offense, a change of style will make him a different player, Geis, in terms of being a little more, you know, self-protective, I guess, which could help him avoid the injury bug that befell him in 2017.
Yep. Could be.
I like Geis better. I can understand where you're coming from. Sony Michel, the fact that both you and Mike Mayock said he reminds you of Alvin Kamara, that counts.
No, for sure.
But I've heard other people say he reminds them of Alfred Morris. You know, a one cut guy who is solid but not spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think he's a little more spectacular than Alfred Morris.
Yes,
Alfred Morris is very good. You know, he's proven that in the NFL, but there's definitely a limit. Yeah.
Ray, what if they go defense? If they go defense at 32, are there one or two guys that stand out to you that could be a defender the Eagles could take at that spot?
Well, the one guy that's interested me a lot is the linebacker from Boise. The only problem with him is every time I see him, when I've watched tape on him, he's playing with a neck roll. And it's not a fashion statement. I mean, there's, and I asked somebody and they said, no, he has a cervical issue.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And so, in terms of his skills, I mean,
we're talking about Leighton Vander Esch.
I'm sorry, Vander Esch, from Boise. If you just look at him physically, he's pretty much everything kind of thing you're looking for. Yep. He's tall, he's rangy, he's got long arms, very good, solid technique tackler. Can play sideline to sideline and can cover really well.
Which is amazing being his size.
Yes.
You know, 6'4 and what, 245?
245.
Yeah. Being that long usually puts you on the line of scrimmage coming off the edge. He's a guy who can drop in coverage and he can run sideline to sideline. That's really impressive for his measurables.
And that's really his strength. Is his ability to cover and his ability to cover a lot of ground. He's not a great pass rusher at this point. If you wanted to bring him into a defense where you wanted your linebackers to be big blitzers, he would have to get better at that. But I think he's very good. Now, if he has an issue, he has a physical issue, it could cause him to drop in the draft. Right now, if he were 100% healthy, I think there'd be a very small chance he'd be there at 32.
Interesting.
I think he would go earlier. But the fact is that there are now some doubts about that makes that the possibility exists that he could possibly be there at 32, and then you have to make your own decision.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Questions, comments for Ray while Ray's in studio here with us this hour in the lead-up to the NFL draft. Also, time's yours at 1:45. And it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, live from the Tasty Cake Studios. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie. All right, let's kick the hour off, the 1 o'clock hour, with David in North Philly. David, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi, David.
I got two different directions with the draft.
Okay.
Joe, if you want this offensive lineman, interior lineman, think about what the Eagles have done over the last 15 years. Kelsey, Harriman's. Hey, Jason Peters, he's undrafted.
He was traded four, but yeah, undrafted.
Where you can find these guys,
but look, they drafted a Harriman's, they drafted a Wellborn. I'm going a little bit back. I mean, Sean Andrews was designed to be a tackle, but initially was a guard. I mean, yes. You can get some valuable players.
4, 5, 6.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Now, Ray, this Brandon Graham situation. Looking at it from the Eagles' perspective, because they know more than we will, if they're not going to sign him to an extension next year, defensive end next year becomes a need, and they don't want to draft for need. Plus, realistically, the defensive ends don't really come in as a rookie unless you're getting, you know, a top five, which we don't expect to draft that high.
Well, David, and David, let me take you a step further. It does become a need if Graham's gone, if also Chris Long's gone, which he certainly could be in 2019, and knowing that Michael Bennett's getting up there in age. He can play inside and outside, and of course you don't have Vinnie Curry, and all of a sudden you might have Derek Barnett and nothing.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
that's interesting.
Plus, I mean, look at it from their perspective. If they're locked into heavy contracts at defensive tackle, and realistically, because of the salary cap, they need to get production cheap. If you can get bookend defensive end, and both of them are rookie deals.
That's a good point,
and they're
man.
Productive, and again, the Eagles like to pick offensive line, defensive line.
Yeah.
Is there any defensive ends that are realistic at 32?
All right, Dave, we're going to get to that. Give me your movie quote, David. What's best movie quote of all time?
I've come to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
All right, I like that. Ray, that's an interesting point he brings up, that, you know, you look actually, because you know, the draft over the horizon, 2-3 years in, who's going to step in and start? They do get thin at D-line quick when you look over the horizon, other than Barnett.
They do.
So is a defensive end, while we see the Eagles, man, they're big at D-N, they're good, more possible than we've kind of given credence to?
Well, if you're thinking along those lines, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, nobody's talking about that.
Right. Nobody's talking about that.
But the Eagles have been, especially when Howie's been involved, the Eagles have been very good about always looking one more move across the board. I mean, they don't necessarily draft just for this year. I mean, they look for what the roster is going to look like a year from now, 2 years from now. They plan very well in that respect. And so I'm sure they've had these conversations about where is our defensive end situation. Wouldn't surprise me. Here's the thing with the defensive end group this year. It's not great. Defensive ends.
What makes you say that? Because the other guy, other side of Barnett's not good enough yet? Or not?
No, I'm saying that this group.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The draft group.
I thought you meant the Eagles group.
As a draft group, Every year the draft pool changes, and certain areas are stronger than others, and then the next year it reverses itself. And this year, at least by my evaluation, two of the areas that have been very strong but this year are not particularly strong are defensive ends and offensive tackles.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the two areas where I thought, look, in most years you have, you know, you got a good depth of the offensive line, good depth of tackle, and you have a lot of good pass edge rushers. Not so much this year.
Tackle's weaker than defensive end, but they're both average or less.
That's where I got them. Now, Chubb is obviously going to go top five. You know, I don't think there's any question that that Bradley Chubb's going to go top five. Marcus Davenport, the kid from Texas San Antonio, is probably going to go late first round. And then after that, you know, you got a guy like Harold Landry. I mean, people have him as like maybe a first round pick. I don't think he's that good. I mean, I know he tested great and he looks great. He looks the part, but you go back and you look at his tape. He wasn't all that productive at BC to me. So, I mean, if you're really talking about him as your third best defensive end slash edge rusher, that tells you it's a fairly weak class. So if you're really thinking along the lines of, hey, we really want to fortify this area, this isn't a year where you're going to find a guy in round four or five in that area. If you feel like that's a need, then you better go for it quick, because there's only a handful of them in this draft that I think look like they could be impact players. And if that's the case, they're probably going to go in the top 35
picks. Interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting, because when you look at our two deep, you got Michael Bennett, Brandon Graham, Chris Long, Derek Barnett, then Stephen Means, and that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
I mean, you're light for 2019 and 2020.
Yeah.
You're light. Now, maybe they can milk 2 years out of Bennett. I mean, can they get three? I don't know, maybe. But he's getting up there. And I'll tell you what, Brandon Graham, it's interesting because it then shapes the Brandon Graham contract negotiation if they, and I'm not saying just necessarily this month, I mean next year, if they do or don't take a high-value DN. If they take a high-value DN and the guy comes in and performs, then Brandon Graham's got less leverage. If they don't address it, then Brandon Graham's got more leverage, because then, you know, next year he says, well, okay, you got Barnett, what else you got? So it's very interconnected. It always is. I mean, we know the way this stuff works, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it shakes out. Let's go to Rick and Glenn Mills. Rick, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great, Rick. How about you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I've been on hold for over an hour, and I'm glad that you kept me on hold that long so I could say hi to Ray.
How you doing?
Rick, we did that design just for you.
We actually met a couple years ago at the Delaware County Sports Banquet.
Oh, okay.
As a
Delco guy, I try to make that as often as I can.
Yeah, in fact, I was hoping to see you this year. Was the past Sunday they had the banquet, and I didn't see you there.
I was still recovering from my cruise, Rick.
Oh, okay.
All right, Rick, what do you got? Best movie quote ever. What is it?
Your producer told me that nobody had mentioned it yet, and it was Scarface. Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, I'll tell you what, James Seltzer did you bad, man, because it's been said twice already. So, I mean, even...
That's
even
what happens when you're on the phone sometimes.
Yeah, but it was also said in the beginning of the movie.
Well, it was the beginning of the show. He actually said a different Scarface quote to me.
Well, then he messed it up.
We didn't say hello to my little friend, did we? Oh, yeah, we did play it.
Yeah. Ray, we're giving away Phillies tickets because John and I, Seltzer, we're going to be down there as a show on May 10th.
Okay.
Phil's and the Giants, business person special, what chauvinistically used to be called a businessman special.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're with the times, have been for the last 20 or so years. We'll be down there. We're looking forward to it. Afternoon game in the sun. And we're looking for the best movie quote of all time. Now, you're not eligible to win the tickets. You are a WIP employee. Of course, you can just join us if you want, of your own volition, which we'd love to have you.
I may very well do that.
Thank you, sir. But we do look to you, Ray, for the guidance and the wisdom of the best movie quote of all time. Ray Dittinger, what is it, sir?
I don't know if anybody suggested it yet. But, I mean, this is off the top of my head, okay? So
yeah.
It's a total impulse. I wish I you hit me with these things cold. I wish I had more time to think about it.
Do you want to think about it?
No, I always think that your first reaction is the truest.
Okay.
You know, I think the more you think about stuff, then it becomes less true. You're better off going with your first reaction to things. So my first reaction to things is go ahead and make my day.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it was written by a guy from Philadelphia, actually.
Really? No way.
Yeah. No, the guy who wrote Dirty Harry is a Philadelphian. I actually met him. And it's a WIP listener as well.
Oh, nice.
What are the odds of that? He might even call in before we get off the air.
About that.
But I did meet him, and he wrote the original Dirty Harry. I don't know how many
Harry
of the sequels.
Harry Fink are you talking about?
Hmm?
Harry Fink?
No, I think his name was Joe. Hmm. But
Joe Hearns.
I don't know how many. I don't know how many of the Dirty Harrys he wrote, but he did write the original.
Nice. Let's go to Betty, who joins us. Betty, you're on WIP.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to talk to all of you.
Thanks,
how are you?
Betty.
I'm originally from Philly, but I now live in Harrisburg. And so, John, I want to say that when I taught at Bishop McDevitt, follow your career over at CV.
Oh, thank you, Betty.
and
McDevitt's
and,
where Shady went.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
That McDevitt, not our McDevitt.
I'm dating myself here, but I taught Ricky Waters.
And Ricky Waters as well. That's amazing.
Now, Betty, did you ever give him a homework assignment? He'd say, for who am I doing this? For what? Why am I doing this?
He knew better. he knew better than to say that. But, Joe, I have to say, I have to hand it to you. You take the abuse well.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Agreed.
I guess that's yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But Betty, let's be honest. Let's be honest. We're all among friends here, right? You have to admit he does invite a lot, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have to admit, Ray, yes, he does.
I mean, a man who launches his own presidential campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about asking for abuse.
It's in the future. I'm not ready yet.
Very, very true. And God, I don't know if I'll be alive by then, Joe. So sorry.
Well, 2040, 44, 48. So stay living.
Well, yeah, I'd be close. I'd be in my 90s. So.
Okay.
You could do it, Betty.
I could. Hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you. I do have a Chuck Norris story. And I have to first of all say, before this happened, this experience happened, I was not a Chuck Norris fan. But I am now a hospice chaplain. And I had a patient who said that the one thing he wanted to do for his wife before he died was for her to meet Chuck Norris. Hmm. So I got my wheels in motion. And to make a long story short, I was able to get a hold of his agent, who said that I'll give you his phone number and I will give you his address.
Wow.
And what I did was I left a message, but I also sent him a letter. And he wrote back apologizing for not being able to come and visit the person, but he wrote this gentleman's wife, wrote her a personal letter with a picture autographed to her.
Wow.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. And like I said, I wasn't a fan of Chuck Norris, but it turned me around a little bit.
I'll tell you this,
that's
Betty.
That's why he's the coolest.
Well, it's, you know,
it's pretty cool.
Betty, I'm going to tell you, a testament to him, but a testament to you as well. You sound like a wonderful person with those efforts right there.
Well, thank you very much. And I do have a movie quote.
All right, what's the best ever, Betty?
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
No, that's a good one.
I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am.
Wow, Betty,
strong
great call.
Heart, Betty.
What a call from Betty. All right, Betty,
thanks,
appreciate
Betty.
It. The old could have been a contender.
That's a good one.
It's a really good one.
That scene in the back of the cab with Rod Steiger and Marlon Brando is one of the great, great scenes in movie history. And you know they hated each other.
Oh, really?
Really?
They hated each other, Brando and Steiger, yeah.
Brando didn't get along with many.
Nor did Rod Steiger.
Oh, really?
Nor did Rod Steiger. They were, but the dynamic between the two of them worked in the movie. It helped enhance the roles. I mean, every scene they had, you could kind of feel the tension between the two of them, and it kind of worked.
All right, let's talk to KC. KC, what's going on, man?
Yo, what's up, fellas?
KC.
Hey, KC.
Hey, I've talked to y'all before, but Ray Dillinger, hey, it's an honor to finally get it, like, you know, to talk to you. I never talked to you before.
Oh, so, my pleasure, KC.
Pledges all mine. Hey, I think right now it's time for contract talks with Brett Brown.
Yep, you better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves the contract.
Lock him up long term.
All he went through and all the process and all the fans not going to the games, and he probably could have easily been fired because, you know, they just wanted, you know, all the trust the process. We know basically it was tanking in the. But he stood there, and he dealt with it. He dealt with the criticism. he was out there talking to the media when it probably should have been the upper office,
yep.
and they threw it all down on him. So it's contract time with him.
Yeah, you know what? He also gets Philly. He spoke
yes.
for us, sort of through us and with us throughout the process, mm-hmm. the losing days. And I couldn't admire a Philadelphia sports figure more than I admire Brett Brown. I'm not saying he's the all-time top, but again, he's in that upper echelon. I just admire the heck out of the guy.
And to top it off, you know, y'all was talking about the few days ago, a Renaissance man. He's the ultimate Renaissance man, you yeah. know, because he was there when it was bad, when they were trying to do bad, and now they're on top. Hey, he deserves contract.
I also like how he just goes out and runs before games. Like, he'll just run around yes. South Philly. He's just there. There's Brett Brown, a couple hours before tip-off, just running around. And I get
That's
his exercise
right.
in. All right, Casey, best movie quote of all time. What is it?
It is one day, and that day may never come, but I'm calling you to do a service for me.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
All right, Casey. Appreciate it, man. 888-729-9494. All right, coming up, Ray Dittinger. Ray, we're going to ask you. I'm going to give you some time. I want you to weigh in as we get ready for another NFL draft. The single best Eagles draft pick of all time.
Oh, okay.
Now, you got to consider the player and mm-hmm. the spot they picked in.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst Eagles draft pick of all time.
Got them both for you, big boy.
All right, we're hitting that next. Show to camera, John Ritchie and Ray Dittinger dropping big boys and talking a little smack this segment as well. Coming after me. Ray coming after me.
No, Joe, I will never do that.
A little bit.
It's just playful tweaking. That's all. And it's born out of affection.
Oh, thank you, sir. I thought we were family.
We are.
All right, Joe to camera and John Ritchie, Ray Dittinger as well, 94W.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.